A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemfusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemfusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemfusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Vijay Vaitaswaran, the energy and green innovation editor of The Economist magazine. The IPCC report in these last days is adamant and clear-eyed about the future. It is not happy unless. Vijay, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The IPCC report is extremely convincing because it declares multiple lines of evidence pointing to a future that is not welcome. The future is wetter. The wet will become wetter. The dry will become drier. The wet bulb effect will take place, humidity becoming extremely difficult. Food and transportation and even the sovereignty of nations will be rattled. What is your measure of how this report was received? Is it different than in the past? Is there a more sober conversation about what is to be done? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, thank you for having me. It is an important moment. Having lived long enough on this earth to have seen the previous IPCC reports issued and seen and written about how they were received by skeptics, by the energy industry, but even by populations at large and how they were written about in the media, I can say there's certainly a difference in the way this UN authoritative report from a leading collection of most of the world's top climate scientists, including many American climate scientists who count in that number. It is different in the sense that there is no significant scientific disagreement. And even among corporations, the heartland industries, even the energy industry, there is not a powerful movement to debunk or to undermine or to sneer the outcomes. Quite the contrary, it's now generally accepted that climate change is not only happening, but its effects are now present and that these could have very dire consequences for humanity in the decades ahead. So I think we're emerging something closer to a consensus. Now, some people are more concerned about this than others. Some are more alarmist, some are more relaxed, and some think that there are solutions that can be mobilized. Others think it's hopeless. I'm not claiming any of that has been sorted out, but the very idea that anthropogenic warming, that is human contributions to greenhouse gases and warming on Earth, is leading to significant problems and will lead to much greater problems in future, including potential tipping points, is no longer in significant doubt at all, even by many who previously were on the fence about it.
If I read correctly, carbon dioxide, the greenhouse gases, is a major concern, but so is methane in the British pronunciation, methane. And that's a factor that needs to be addressed as well. So it's not enough to go to an electric vehicle for all of us away from fossil fuel. We've got to do something, I guess, about how methane is released. A first would be for livestock. After that, we have to worry about the methane being released in the permafrost along the Arctic zone. Are those conversations underway, Vijay, about methane?
Absolutely, they are. And the IPCC report underlined that. It stressed its importance. Now, people have looked at climate seriously, have always pointed out there is a basket of gases. It's not just the one with the best publicity machine, which is carbon dioxide, which gets all the attention. It has always involved methane, which is a big component of natural gas. Most people are familiar with natural gas and leaking from natural gas pipelines in Russia, for example, in the former Soviet Union, and even in the United States and American oil companies, which tend to have higher quality infrastructure. We now know from satellites, some of which have been put up in space by environmental groups to monitor this kind of leakage, that this can be improved. This is a much bigger source of greenhouse gas emissions than had been admitted to by industry estimates and disclosures.
What we have then is a task in front of us, but you start with one step. The puzzle, the great nations, China, India, the European Union as one, Brussels, and the United States, if they move, I'm told that they're the majority, the overwhelming majority of the problem. If they move, have we solved enough of it to get us through the century? If they move.
In my opinion, you can't let the ideal be the enemy of the good. I've never believed that you could wait for an ideal solution, and you can't have all 200 plus countries on Earth acting in concert. That was always some form of utopian or dystopian vision. So coalitions of the willing is how we always get things done. And in the case of climate, you're quite right to focus on the great nations, as it were, and great in this sense, meaning great polluters. But those are also the ones with the great ability to transform the energy systems, to scale great energy technology innovations like renewables or ultimately maybe clean hydrogen. There are multiple opportunities to clean up energy systems, and they'll have the biggest impact, not on a small tropical island, but in China, or not on, you know, a small Caribbean island, but in the great American heartland. And that's the reason why you need great powers and the great emitters to act. That will set the tone. It will also buy down the cost of these great innovative technologies, some of which are fledgling technologies at this point. They need to scale up. And as they scale up, the costs come down, the rest of the world can afford them. And that's a classic trickle down of technology. We know how this works. And so it happened with solar PV. China brought down the cost. America adopted it. And now PV is found, solar cells are found around the world at low cost.
I read from the Economist line, even the most ambitious of the various emissions scenarios modeled by the IPCC's experts offers less than a 50% chance of staying below 1.5 degrees centigrade of heating. So we must prepare for what used to be understood the worst case scenario. Is there a plan B now in place, something alarming? And I'm thinking of geoengineering. Is that in place?
The answer is no, it is not in place. On the contrary, there are huge controversies and uncertainties and risks, including technological risks, with various types of geoengineering. I personally would strongly advocate, and The Economist has raised this prospect on our leader pages, that we need to make sure that we invest in the science and also think about the moral and ethical components and the unintended consequences of different forms of geoengineering, because almost certainly we won't be able to do enough by cutting greenhouse gases, and the technologies for reducing what's called getting to net zero, that is getting carbon out of the air through direct air capture or some of these other technologies, biological sinks with forests, there may be issues to do with how much we can scale them up or whether the technology even works in a sustainable manner. So there are some more radical proposals that including reflecting sunlight, for example, reducing the amount that reaches the earth by a small amount through atmospheric means and manipulation by mankind. Those are promising, but they carry huge risks, ethical quandaries, and are very controversial as well. So we had better figure this out in the next 5 to 10 years. A plan B is not a plan B if it doesn't work when you need it.
Vijay, my reporting this last week took me to Siberia. The vast landscape is on fire. In addition, I'm told the peat is burning. The peat underneath, which will burn all winter, is likely. And there are cities built on the permafrost that don't know their futures. The concern here is does that connect to the IPCC? Is that a consequence of the climate change, or is that just bad luck, bad timing at the same time?
You know, for a long time, we have assumed that any extreme weather events cannot be attributed to climate change, right? It's an ad hoc weather event. It's,
right.
You can't attribute any individual hurricane or wildfire to climate. And that's still holds true. Any single event could be caused by a careless spark in a Yellowstone Park, for example. Is that really climate change? But at some point, when you have an accumulation of events, an accumulation of these extreme events, and then you begin to see multiple storms of the century in the course of a decade, what used to be called storm of the century magnitude, and you begin to see prevailing conditions of drought in the American West, or indeed in Siberia, as you rightly point out, that are well beyond the normal variance that we would have expected, then you have to ask the question, are we seeing a shift that's related to what's happening with climate change? So I think it's reasonable to press those who say, no, it's just today's weather, get over it. I don't think that line is tenable any longer. It's right to push the folks who argue that line.
Our final 30 seconds. I was cheered to see that Vladimir Putin, who doesn't get a lot of attention as a man who responds, sends new firefighters to Siberia and is talking about climate change. That's a positive. That's a change, isn't it, Vijay, over these years? We have 15 seconds.
Yes, I think the fact that if Russia goes from being smug and calm about climate change, saying, well, we'll have a lot more farmland and tropical ports in Siberia we can benefit from, to saying, we also have a lot to lose and we better curb our own exports of fossil fuels. That's a powerful, positive development.
Vijay Vajeswaran, the energy and green innovation editor of The Economist magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.